The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 169. Excited to bring Gunnar Peterson to you today. Gunnar and I met at Sorinex Summer Strong this last year. Got a chance to watch the part of his presentation. Missed the first part, unfortunately, but the part that I watched, he knocked it out of the park, and I was super excited to get him on and just talk a little bit of shop before and after as well. But I wanted to bring him on. He had talked about a great topic. And just, you know, for you, for those that don't know Gunnar is the trainer to the stars. I mean, he's out in Beverly Hills. You name a celebrity and he has probably trained them, works with elite athletes, everything and everything in between. And he does a fantastic job and has built a fantastic business. And he's quite the character, a great person. And his personality just shines. And so that's what we get into. We talk a little bit about how it's important to brand yourself, create your own niche, create your own vibe as a fitness professional. And so many of us as strength coaches, I know myself included early on, would shy away from that so much, whether or not being concerned about being perceived as a sellout or a self-promoter or whatever. But the reality is this, is that you have to define your own brand or somebody else will. And so we get into that. We talk about some of the tips that he has and things that he's done and his experiences and just a wealth of information. So I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Before we do, though, we want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, Sorinex. As I mentioned, we met at the Summer Strong. And again, if you have not gone to that event, it is an experience. You need to make sure that you are at Summer Strong 10. I haven't talked to Bert and those guys yet about this next year, but assuming that it's the 10th edition of a Summer Strong, I can only imagine that it is going to be a knocked out of the park. And I've gone to the last two and walked away a better strength coach each and every time, and I can't recommend it enough. But make sure you're following these guys. Make sure you're following Bert and Sorinex and all the cast of characters. I mean, Dan McKim with his Big Daddy deal and Aaron Osmus with the Pen and Paper Strength app and the rest of the gang, just all Trey Cepeda, on and on and on. They are class act, fantastic people, and, the biggest thing that's great about these guys is that they're practitioners. I mean, they train hard themselves, and the products that they put out are tried and true, tested beyond pretty much all of our capabilities even before they even get out to the marketplace. And so I would encourage you to follow them on social media. They're knocking out some fantastic installs lately. This install at South Dakota with Javon Bowman and their group. I mean, the bridge that they put in, they call it the Mega Bridge. Just a phenomenal concept and idea that they've seen realized there, and just constantly pushing the envelope. And so I would encourage you guys to reach out to Sorinex if you're in the market for some equipment. But if not, make sure you're following them and just seeing what they got going on, because they're innovative. They push they push the envelope. And there's several manufacturers that try to keep up but fail in comparison. So check them out, Sorinex.com. Sit back and enjoy this episode with Gunnar. I know you're going to enjoy it. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. If you turn on your TV tonight, there's a good chance you're going to see somebody that this guy has trained, whether it be an actor, an athlete, just some impressive people that he gets a chance to work with. But got a chance to watch Gunnar speak at Summer Strong, and was just so really impressed by him and his message, and wanted to have him on the show, man. So thanks for coming on, brother.
I appreciate you having me. I'm glad you were at Summer Strong too. That was a great time. Bert Sorenx, all those guys do a terrific. That's a terrific weekend. I can't recommend that highly enough. That was my first time, and I'm kicking myself for not having been in the past.
Well said.
No, wait a minute. I don't think I was invited in the past. Oh, we're clear.
I'll make sure Bert hears that. Hey, man, real quick, just for the people that don't know you, that are listening, a bunch of strength coaches for the most part, but, you know, Reader's Digest version, how'd you get into the profession and kind of what's led you to your current role out there in Beverly Hills?
How I got into the profession, to go way back, I was a fat kid. My mom had me in Weight Watchers meetings, not at my request, but I said I want to do something about this, Mom, and she said, well, let's go, and took me to Weight Watchers meetings in Houston, Texas. I got a little bit better understanding of what I was doing wrong. I corrected it for a minute, and then, you know, old habits die hard, so I went back to doing what I was doing, but at least I had a little more knowledge. In college, I got into the strength stuff and you know, lifting and working out, and it was all that, and I was having a great time with it, but the eating was still pretty atrocious. And there was some drinking also in college. I went to Duke, so hold that against
me. A lot of drinking then, right?
Hold that against me or worship me for one or the other. And after that, I just became a workout dude, and I loved it, and I did it all the time, and I never skipped, and I recruited some buddies from time to time, but I pretty much went at it on my own. And one day I was leaving the gym, and a guy asked me if he could train with me, and you know, we talked about it for a second, and then he said, what do you charge? And I thought he meant work out with me, and what he meant was for me to train him. And I went home, and a girlfriend said, you love doing that, you should do it, you can make more money. And within 2 weeks, I was looking at it, you know, checks and balances, and I thought, I could make more money doing this than my other little rinky-dink job. And I quit the job and I did this full time, and then I decided to get serious about it, and I started accumulating certifications and attending seminars and just devouring anything I could find on any subject from yoga to powerlifting, and I read everything and I watched everything, and it was on VHS back then, and you can Google that if you don't know what it is. So
that's
a lot of rewind, pause.
No doubt. I was just having that conversation with my son yesterday, actually.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, you've taken that, and you got, you know, you went out west, and you've got such a, I mean, your clientele speaks for themselves, but, you know, in that process, you know, of going and building this business now, and not just training people, but, I mean, you've written books, you put out DVDs, you got this well-rounded business now. You've probably made tons of mistakes. I mean, we're talking a little bit off camera. You're like, which mistake? The one I made like 5 minutes ago, or the one 10 minutes ago? tell us maybe the biggest mistake you've made in the coaching profession, or the training profession, and how you learned from it.
I can tell you the biggest one I've made today. I mean, good Lord. Probably the biggest mistake I made was thinking that when I was on a roll, I was going to stay on a roll, and that the machine would feed itself. And,
right.
And while it may to a degree, it definitely doesn't to the degree that I want it to. And sure, if you have a full roster of people, you're going to get a referral from time to time, but it doesn't mean you're always going to stay stocked. And you have to keep, for me, you have to keep striving to be better, not just from a coaching standpoint, but, you know, I own and run and operate a gym, and people go, just one gym? I go, yeah, you tried doing it.
All right.
And because I'm everything at the gym, I'm making sure everything is handled. And that goes, my client's experience starts from when they pull into the parking lot, and it ends when they pull out of the parking lot.
Right.
So everything that happens in between, on some level, I'm responsible for that. And I take pride in making sure I keep up with trends, with fads, and I have to be on top of things from an exercise standpoint, from a nutrition standpoint, and I can't rely on yesterday's successes or, you know, this morning's clients to keep me as high as I want to be kept throughout this process. So that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake to rest on your laurels.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And just because, you get all those certifications and you go and you read all those books, doesn't mean that the clients are going to be walking in the door all of a sudden, right? There's a little bit of a branding and marketing element to that as well.
For sure. And it doesn't, mean you're good, and it doesn't mean you deserve to have them walk into the room.
Agreed.
I mean, you can have as many letters after your name as you want, and you can suck as a trainer. And there are other guys who don't have formal education who are terrific as a trainer because they connect with the people, because they have a certain a brand, for lack of a better term, it's something that people want to attach themselves to. There's a, whether it's their look, their confidence, their demeanor, their coaching cues, their overall vibe, their energy, if you want to get into West Coast words, and whatever it is, it's something that people attach themselves to. And I think people who have that out of the gate, it's easier to accumulate the letters after your name than to have all the certifications in the world, but to just be plain vanilla all the time. Because after a while, that's a tough sell in a one-on-one, intensely intimate atmosphere with a client, a stranger, essentially.
No question. I couldn't agree more. And in coaching, I say that all the time. I mean, you have to have the intangibles. I'll look for the intangibles, because the reality is, as a manager, I'm an effective teacher. I'm an effective coach, and I can teach them those skill sets that I need, but I can't teach them that X factor. You know, I can't.
You have to make them want to learn what it is you're teaching.
Agreed.
And as good as you may be as a teacher or a coach, if they don't want to learn it, you have to find a way to make them want to learn that. It can't just be, guys, you got to learn this, so, you know, strap it on, buckle up, let's go. I mean, that may work in some subjects, that may work in some eras, but in today's personal training world, I mean, I can't really speak. I see it's different where you guys are, universities and pros. That's a little different than where I am, but I have to, on some level, be selling or not selling, and selling through my not selling technique. That, you know, the cool sell or the hard sell, the soft sell, however you want to do it. There has to be a reason for people to want to come back to me every day.
Right. Lots of things to pull out there. I want to start with the branding element. You know, you talk quite a bit about that at Summer Strong, and it's something that we talk about on the show quite a bit, in terms of, you know, having to diversify yourself and kind of, you know, I talk about the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur, and balancing yourself out between all three of those areas. Building your personal brand is very, very important, not just in a business setting like you running your own business, but it's in a positioning setting as well. Talk a little bit about the importance of branding for the fitness professional.
Well, people have to know, it's what I said at Summer Strong, what's your elevator speech? If somebody says to you, what do? You say, I'm a strength coach. What kind of training do? You have to be able to sum that up in a way, assuming you're always looking for clients, which in the private sector, we, as a rule, you are. You have to be able to sum that up in a way that makes you attractive, that makes you something that you know, you can't say, well, come by and try, you'll see. That's, you know, then you're that guy.
Right.
So you have to be able to put that in a 2-minute elevator speech. You know, I do this, I do that, I do a hybrid of this and that. My focus is on this, I offer this, so this is the kind of thing we believe in, this is how we approach it. And you have to be able to say that in a concise way that will hopefully hook that person and create an interest.
No question. I mean, it's in coaching as well. I mean, I'm constantly selling myself to our other coaches, our current athletes, prospective athletes in recruiting.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times you're right. You got 2 minutes as you're passing by a recruit on a field that you got to get your message across in a very clear and concise way. What you know, give us some tips. I mean, you gave lots of tips in your presentation, but, like, you know, give me some actionable tips to do right now. Some things that you think is missing by most of the strength coaches out there in terms of building their personal brand.
I think that strength coaches, trainers have to know what they do, as opposed to just that they do it, meaning they have to say, here's what I do and here's why it's efficacious and here's why it's something that could apply to you and your life and you could benefit from it. Whether you're speaking to a 55-year-old guy who's just made a ton of money and he realizes he's let 15, 18 years of his athletic life go by and now he wants to try to get it back, or you're talking to a guy who's just gotten out of college, doesn't know what he wants to do with his life, has disposable income, and wants to, at that moment, get in the best shape of his life. Or a woman who's had three kids, and now it's time for her to invest in her. You know, the last one is sophomore in high school, and he's off on his own, and she feels like she's neglected herself. How do you get her back? You have to be able to take what you do and own it and believe in it. And I would also suggest you practice it. I mean,
right.
You know, there definitely you can be an out of shape coach and still be effective. There's no question about that. But I think at least on the personal training side, it's really tough to compete and to sell yourself as a viable business, as a viable modality to get in shape if you're not in shape.
Right. Right.
It's,
yeah.
It's a tough call.
Well, it's definitely one of those intangibles that you have to have as well. It has to be believable, right? Yeah. It's got to be believable that you're a strength coach. It's got to be believable that you're a personal trainer. And it's not just your fitness level. It's also your presence and your the way you deliver your message and your back. Go ahead.
You have to live the life of a monk. I'm not saying don't have dessert, don't have a cocktail. I'm not saying any of that. Of course, you have a life. You make your choices, but by and large, you make good choices more often than you don't.
Right.
And that, I think, people say, oh, I can do that. You mean I don't have to be weighing my food and working out every morning at 5 a.m.? No, you don't have to do that. I mean, how far do you want to go?
Right.
There's going to be a time where you have to narrow it down more and more to get higher and higher to get in there. But if you're just looking for a certain lifestyle to be fit and to benefit from the money and the freedom that your hard work has earned you, man, I don't want to downplay it, but it's not that hard. It's very doable. It's very manageable.
No
and
question.
Especially when I say that to a prospective client, for whatever reason, they look at me and they go, really? Then I want to try. And that's, it's done right there.
Right. Well, I think what you said earlier about making sure that you're able to deliver that message in a very clear and concise way, I think is so important. And even how we opened the show, it's one of the reasons why I asked that question is, it's kind of, you know, one of the past guests that I've had said, your mess is your message, you know? Well, your mess was, okay, I was this overweight kid that was sitting in Weight Watchers meetings, and that's kind of what led me down this journey. And maybe you can relate to that, or maybe at least there's a story there that's more than, I'm a personal trainer that works in Beverly Hills. You know, same thing with me. It's, you know, I opened my book up with getting hit in the face by a football from a kid that was on a high school field, because I couldn't catch it, and that for that reason, I wanted to be an NFL quarterback, and that led me down this path of finding every possible way that I can do that, which included strength and conditioning, kind of becoming a self-made athlete. And I think when so many coaches, when I talk to them, that's what they miss out on. I'm a strength coach. I went to this school. I dated this girl, whatever. Instead of really kind of why they do what they do, and really getting to the core of that, and ultimately, you have to define that for not just other people. But you have to define that for yourself.
For me, the why is very easy. It's I want people to know that they can take charge of their own health and fitness, and it's not this unachievable, almost invisible ghost of a goal. That it's there. You can do it. You know, there is many ways up that mountaintop as there are people who've gone there, and we can pick one, and we can pick it together, and we can pursue it together, and it can be as intense, as short, as long as you want it to be. It's just what you're willing to put behind it. But it's definitely not, oh, I can never be in shape like that.
Right.
Yeah, you can. You can. And I know from a kid who, you know, I had tits. Let's just call it what it was back in the day. When it was shirts and skins day, I was definitely finding a way on that line to not be a skin. I was aware of it. I was self-conscious. I was uncomfortable. And if I can get to the point now where, you know, I'll go to the beach today if you want to go.
Right.
It's not an issue. And it's not a showing off kind of thing. It's I'm comfortable in my body, and before I was not. And when you, at least in my sector, when you say something like that to a prospective client, that's very relatable. And
right.
They go, wow, I just would like to be comfortable in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, right there, you've got them.
Absolutely. And that's anybody. That's your athletes, that's your clients, the whole deal. You know, one of the other things you mentioned earlier, was just the relationship building part of it, and part of that is getting to your client's why or your athlete's why. You know, how have you been able to build these relationships with these megastars? You know, these megastars, actors, megastar athletes. I mean, they not only do they come and train with you, but they rave about you publicly when you're not around. And I mean, as coaches, that's what we want, right? We want our athletes to be able to go to war for us if we're not around.
Sure. I think you have to be able to relate to them. I think I'm not saying you have to live in the houses or drive the cars or stay in the hotels that they stay in, but you should definitely be versed in that. So when they say, when they come in and they say, hey, I just got a Lamborghini, you go, what flavor?
Right.
You don't want to be that guy. You want to say, oh, which model? Oh, I heard the new one is 700 horsepower. And you don't have to be an expert in it, but you have to not be shocked by it. And not that you're not impressed by it, but you're not in awe of it. You go, oh, that's right. Cool. I saw one of those once. And you give them a place where, for me, where they're comfortable talking about it, right. Where they can show me their watch or they talk about their car, or when they talk about a city they've been to. If I've been to that city, even if I weren't staying in that hotel, I will go by that hotel. If I tell the clients out here, again, catering to, again, only speaking on my zip code, the 90210 right here, when you're dealing with people in this area, when they go to Paris, they're going to stay at one of three hotels. So if I go to Paris on a trip, I'm going to make it a point to go by those hotels, even if I just roll through the lobby.
Right.
So that when I'm back here and a client says, I'm going to Paris, I say, oh, where are you staying? And I'm going to go, bap, bap, bap. And I'm going to say, oh, that one, terrific floral display in the lobby. What a great hotel that is.
Right.
I will have connected with them on some level. I've also reassured them that I'm a safe place. This is a place you can come and you don't have to be self-conscious of your achievements. You can speak freely here. Right. And there's no judgment. There's nobody going, oh, it must be nice. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to feel guilty. They don't want to feel uncomfortable. They just want to be able to literally and figuratively let their hair down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important. I mean, my next question, my follow-up to that was going to be, you know, do you think that's something that can be developed, you know, being relational like that? And, I mean, you answered it in that you really, what you're doing there is you're taking the time to research your demographic, you know, and to really challenge yourself to go out and learn those things.
Here, let's throw it back to Bert Sorin from Sorinex, who's an avid hunter.
Right.
You want to know the routines of your prey.
Right.
You want to know what they do, where they go, when they do it, where that watering hole is. Makes you a more effective hunter. If I'm looking to hunt clients, if I'm looking to track down people, I got to know where they go, what they do. I have to be well versed in that.
Right.
I'm not gonna rub their urine on myself to hide amongst them, but I am gonna get to know their habits.
Yeah, you've worked with, you know, like I said, these mega stars from Hollywood, but you've also worked with these very high end technical athletes as well. How much is that program design changing between the two?
If you look at, the muscle groups of the body, if you go down that path, or if you look at the muscle movement patterns of the body, you look at planes of motion, you look at what needs to be developed for that sport, and sometimes more specifically, that position of that sport, you break it down from there. Obviously, there's some shared movements across the board. There's some foundational exercises from a strength standpoint, from a movement pattern grooving standpoint. And once those are built in, after that, it's really more case by case for the person in terms of their weaknesses, what they want to work on, what I know they need to work on. And then you throw them, you know, it's like the lollipop leaving the doctor's office. You leave them on a high note. You leave them with something that feels good. Mm. And it may sound crazy to have somebody do bicep curls, but you may need it. They may just need that pump. You may sound crazy to have the girl do the extra set of deep lunges or the step up open kinetic chain, come off the box. But if she's going to feel different, if her glutes are going to feel pumped after that, then we're going to end on that. It's funny. We call it dessert in here. And my athletes know that. They're like, is there any dessert in today's workout? I go, yeah, yeah, but don't worry. It's gluten free. So we'll hit a little something that's going to be hard, but that's going to leave them feeling great. And to me, that creates for them is a very positive association with all things gym. And that only serves in their the rate of return for the client. I have less attrition, hopefully, over time. And when they're out and somebody says, hey, you work out, what do you do? What'd you work out? And they go, oh, my God, I did this and this and this. Then again, they're your mouthpiece. And that's way better than anything I could say about myself.
When your athletes, just from a program design standpoint, when your clients come in, take us through kind of a typical progression through the gym.
Oh, I should pull up. I had two guys in here yesterday. I had a 15-year NBA vet, and I had a Super Bowl quarterback in here yesterday, Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'd have to look at their workouts, what the progression is. I mean, I usually started with something warm up wise. That's I've had this argument with other strength coaches that you don't do dynamic warm up. Nah, maybe not. I might put them on an elliptical or on an arc trainer or on a spark or on a bike or on anything that's a repetitive movement pattern, just so they start to zone out a little bit,
right?
And they let go of everything in the outside world. Yes, I let them finish a text or finish a call while they're in here, because once we come off that machine, they may be on that for 3 minutes or, you know, maybe 10. Then they're going to put that down, and then we're going to start. And it could be we start with a Kaiser squat. So there's the pneumatic squat.
Right.
And there may be a sled push and coming around the other side of the sled before we return it. I may have them. I have a thing built on my sled where they can hook their foot, and we'll go into a little Bulgarian split, but with a hop to it. And they're going to turn around and bring the sled back. We may go into banded hypers, where they come up at the top of the hyper and they turn side to side. If you think of that movement, it's very natural for a quarterback. It's very natural for a basketball player. And they do it. They come up here, lumbar's engaged, erector spinae's engaged, and boom, boom, they're moving. From that, I would probably put them on something hit-oriented. It could be a slide board. It could be a Jacob's ladder. It could be a VersaClimber. I'm big on the VersaClimber. I have a bunch of them here, different. I've modified them so I can change the angle down. I've got one that has the inertial weights at the top. I've got one that's completely vertical. So it might be a minute on that. It might be 90 seconds. It might be just upper body. It might be just lower body. And then from there, I'll probably go to something upper body, you know, unless they're looking just for mass. That's a different program. But this is stuff going into the season. And then I'd have them do something upper body, whether it's TRX push-up or it can be pull-ups, it can be fat bar pull-ups, and then we'll cycle through similar movements like that. And that may sound like it's haphazard, but it's not. We do a lot of peripheral heart action, so shunting the blood, upper extremity, lower extremity, focus on core throughout. Don't save, you know, crunches for the end kind of thing.
Right.
We do work the abs, all three planes of motion. They'll do frontal plane stuff. They'll do transverse plane stuff. They'll do crunches. They'll do, you know, reverse crunches or a leg lift with a band on it. Anything I can find to put resistance on, I do. And we try to keep it progressing at all times, but we're not opposed to regressing if that's what the scenario calls for.
Sure. It sounds like, I mean, and this is one of my fundamental principles that I live by too, but sounds like you incorporate lots of variety. Maybe no workout's the same. Talk about the importance of keeping that variety and that spice in those workouts. I love the dessert analogy.
Well, so for our look, if to me, if your brain is bored, your body's been bored. You know what I mean? So I try to keep it moving. I try to keep them guessing. It's not like I'm trying to trick them,
right.
And it's not like I'm trying to, you know, throw out some crazy surprise. But I like that their body and their brain has to adapt to something new and different organically from a just on a cellular level. They're different every day. So to me, the stimulus that I present should be different as well. I like that their brain has to think, I know what this is. And so they're thinking throughout. It's not routine. I trained a guy, quarterback for the 49ers years ago, and he said to me once, what I love about this is that at 11:15, I'm not on my on 11:15 on Monday. I'm not on my fourth set of incline presses. And I thought that's interesting that he, because wherever it was, the bench, he was seeing a clock. He knew and some people probably like that regimentation, and that's probably very comfortable. But I think I like to, you know, put a little bit of chaos in there.
No question.
We mix it up with a lot of levity. I mean, we keep it fun. It's important for me that what is monotonous and can be drudgery is kept light and fun. I don't yell at people. That's not my That's not my thing. That's not my personality. That's not how my gym is run. It's not how. That's not what I respond to.
Right.
So we keep it fun. We encourage. I mean, we'll throw some jabs. I'll go, you know, was it Half Rep Tuesday today? And that kind of thing, which is my way of
banter.
Saying.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, correct. And I'm big on that. And I think, you know, over time, it seems to prove itself out. It works with the people that I work with.
No,
I'm not suggesting that if that's not your personality, you try to become that guy because that's not you. Just like it's not my personality to be a drill sergeant. So right. I wouldn't know how to back that up if that were ever, you know, countered.
Right, right. No, I totally agree. You got to be yourself for sure.
Yep.
Well, man, I know you're extremely busy. We end the show with some resources here. What's the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received?
Best piece of coaching advice?
Yeah.
It's funny. I thought about this at Summer Strong. You got to do what you do for you and because you know it's right. You don't do it for how you anticipate the person that's receiving it is going to respond. So meaning as I write a program for people, I don't write this and go, oh, I hope he likes this. I hope this is agreeable to him tomorrow. I think he needs this. This will be great before this, and I'll go right into this, and then we'll execute. And if at any time in there it's questioned, I have to remind myself because I was told, remember, you're doing it because you know it's right, and stick to that. Trust your gut. I have to be able to say to him, we got to do this. We got to knock this out this way. This is going to be the most. This is going to give you the most return.
Right.
And you got to trust everything you've studied. Trust it.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Book, Squat Every Day by Matt Perryman. I just reread it and I thought there's a lot of interesting stuff in there and I'm sure it rubs a few people the wrong way, but I got a lot out of that book and I'm 27 years into doing this. So if I'm getting stuff out of it, I think I'm sure everybody can get one or two things out of there.
I agree.
So there's a book. Website, I look at a lot of websites. Athlene X is one I've been looking at lately. Jeff Cavalieri, I think he's good. I think he's solid. I think he gives good tips, and I just like the energy that comes off of that. Sure. What was the other one? App?
Yeah, any apps you use for your athletes or clients or just for your own productivity?
Under Armour Record.
Okay.
You know
what does that do? I've not seen that one.
I'm an Under Armour guy, so. All their stuff, when they started, I try to get behind it. Just giving you feedback and information about your workout and your output and that kind of thing. And it's just, to me, it's helpful to track. You know, I'm not huge on too much analysis because I think people get caught up in the data and then they're second guessing too many things, but definitely some baseline analysis and you start to see where you are and you start to attribute your prep for that workout, meaning everything from your food to your sleep to your stress levels in your personal life, you find a way to put that to your advantage for when you're training versus to come in and be so ill prepared from a food, sleep, and stress reduction level that you can't perform in the gym.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, man, you know, I really, you know, sitting back and watching most of your presentation, yeah, I got caught on the front end of it, but I caught the end of it, or most of it anyways.
Caught the better half.
But I missed the freaking onesie, man. I missed the onesie at the beginning.
Pink cupcake onesie. They're rare.
But I'll tell you, you know, just in hearing you speak and talking with you and just so impressed by the fact that, you know, you're exactly what you said. You're your own guy. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter where you're at. You're going to be you, and people draw to that, you know. I really respect you because it's not just the, like you said, lightening it up with the levity, but it's also backed with very, very sound knowledge and experience. Man, I'm so impressed by you. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's the same thing you do every day, and it's, you know, it's different walls around us, but what goes on inside is the exact same. And the fact that you get the branding, and so many people go, why do I need to brand myself? I'm a coach. I'm a trainer. Dude, you need to brand yourself if you want to be in this business for a long time. People need to know who you are, what you stand for, why you stand for it, and that you're going to be there for a while, or else you won't be.
Absolutely. I couldn't say it better myself. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, Ron. I'll talk to you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.